This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I love Active Skin Repair. So I've got the boy who is a lifeguard, loves being outside, but is pretty pale. And even though I'm on his case about the sunscreen, he gets sunburns. Active Skin Repair is super helpful when that happens. My husband is a total worker guy, tinker around in the shop, getting cuts and scrapes all the time. We literally use this Active Skin Repair, I mean, just all the time. It's always in use at our house. And it's not just for cuts and scrapes and burns. It also can be used for rashes and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, making it suitable for use on all skin types, all parts of the body, even on rosacea, eczema, and acne-prone skin. Seriously, all the things. I'm stoked about this sponsor. You can go to www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code JOYFUL. So again, go to www.activeskinrepair.com and use the code JOYFUL for 20% off your order. Hey, it's Casey. Before we start today, I just wanted to jump in and let anyone out there who thinks they would like to work with parents and facilitate positive discipline to know that I will be facilitating a Teaching Parenting the Positive Discipline Way workshop with my friend and business partner, Julietta Skoog, March 20th through the 24th from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. This will certify you as a positive discipline parent educator and train you up in everything you need to start leading and supporting parents. It is super fun. And if you enroll before February 20th, you will get the $50 off the cost of the workshop. You'll get the early bird special. Go to besproutable.com/parent-educators for more information and to register. Again, that's besproutable.com/parent-educators. Let us know if you have any questions. Hello. Welcome back. Welcome to the Joyful Courage Podcast, a place for inspiration and transformation as we work to keep it together while parenting our tweens and teens. This is real work, people. And when we can focus on our own growth and nurturing the connection with our kids, we can move through the turbulence in a way that allows for relationships to remain intact. My name's Casey O'Rourke. I am your fearless host. I'm a positive discipline trainer, space holder, coach, and the adolescent lead at Sproutable. Also, mama to a 20-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son. I am walking right beside you on the path of raising our kids with positive discipline and conscious parenting. This show is meant to be a resource to you, and I work really hard to keep it really real, transparent, and authentic so that you feel seen and supported. Today is a solo show, and I'm confident that what I share will be useful to you. Please don't forget, sharing truly is caring. If you love today's show, please, please pass the link around, snap a screenshot, post it on your socials, or text it to your friends. Together, we can make an even bigger impact on families around the globe. If you're feeling extra special, you can rate and review us over in Apple Podcasts. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Enjoy the show. Well, hello. Hello there, my friends. Here we are, back again, together, together. Yay. I am excited to be coming back to you with another live solo show. I feel like a lot's gone down. I know in my little world, we're moving out of basketball season, which has been really nice for my son. And we're still talking with my daughter about college and what that can look like for her, which is exciting because as you all know, those of you that have been following for a long time, she was not a kid that was into the college potential. She figured it wasn't for her. And now After living some life and going to trade school and really doing really well, but also recognizing that there's potentially more for her, she is turning towards a college experience, which is exciting, And yeah, so we've moved into February. I'm bringing back the little notes on the door in February. So I'm writing little notes on hearts, heart-shaped construction paper that I cut out, and putting them on my kids' door every day so that by Valentine's Day, they'll have 14. My two kids and my bonus kid. I have a bonus teen living with me right now that I adore, and she's getting in on the action too. So I was reminded of this fun little Valentine's Day tradition in the membership program when one of the mamas posted about how she's been writing little love notes to her two boys and putting them on their pillow every night. And she's done it for a whole year now, and the kids are collecting a stack of love notes from their mom. And I love that. I feel like as many ways as possible that we can message the depth of our love and acceptance for our kids, the better, right? We want them to feel loved, to know that they're loved, to know that they're supported. So yay. Today on the pod, what I'm going to talk about is I want to talk about growth mindset and motivation and pessimism. I'm seeing and having some conversations here and there around teens that are seemingly unmotivated or discouraged or looking out at the possibilities of the world and feeling like there are none. It's hard. It's hard to hold. It's hard to be with that resistance to seeing the bright side. And I hear from a lot of parents about kids that seem to be extremely pessimistic about the future. It can look like they've given up. They won't talk about the future, seemingly squarely stationed in their own pit of despair. And I remember a few years ago when my daughter was really struggling and I would try to invite her into, you know, what do you want? What do you want? What do you imagine your future to be? What do you want a year from now to look like? And, you know, those conversations that I talk about on the pod, right? I share them. I invite my clients to have these conversations with their kids, like engage them in considering what it is that they want. And I remember back at that time, and we've since talked about it, she couldn't answer those questions. And actually, it turned out that those questions were really anxiety producing for her, right? Like she couldn't imagine a future. And, you know, that makes sense. I think for some of our kids, they've only had so much life experience that, you know, there's the kids that can sit inside of, oh my gosh, anything is possible, which is exciting and can also be overwhelming. And then there's the kids that feel like, well, if anything's possible, then all the worst case scenarios are right there front and center for them. And as their parents, we get to just sit next to them, like imagine their vision or their experience as a movie screen in front of us. And we're sitting side by side, you know, we're sitting side by side and we're looking at that movie screen as well. And like, wow, yeah, it must be hard to consider a year from now, right? Everything is uncertain. Things do change. There is a lot going on in the world. And I mean, let's keep it real. There's a lot to be defeated about. Our teens, like I said, have limited life experiences and perspective. On one hand, you know, that anything is possible mentality can show up, or kind of the la la la, necessarily not deep thinkers. I wasn't a huge deep thinker as a teenager. I was very much like, where's the party and do I get to go? And then there's other kids who are deep thinkers and are deep considerers. And this is a gift. And it can also be something that's hard to navigate. But we have to remember that our kids' lens has been developed in the context of potentially experiencing a school shooting, living through a global pandemic. We have to remember that we're still only just recognizing the effects of social media, the effects of under-resourced school systems, right? I mean, can I go on a little soapbox for a second? So we go through this pandemic. Our kids suffer, right? We all suffer, but the teens, man, really suffer. Schools, the conversation, the articles are all about how we need to take care of our kids' mental health. And just like that, we're back to the rat race of academics, academics, academics. What about mental health? What about social emotional learning? Under-resourced school systems make me crazy. Our kids are also living with the effects of stressed out parents that are working to maintain a sense of financial enoughness in an economy that's constantly getting more challenging to find yourself in the middle class. And racial injustice and hateful politics. Grown-ups in leadership positions acting like crazy people, right? It's a lot. And now more than ever before, our kids are being inundated with messaging about all of this, right? It's that constant news cycle through TikTok, through Snapchat, through whatever their channels are. But they're hearing about things. They're making sense of things. They're hearing about things faster than we do. And then we don't know what they're hearing about. So there's nowhere for them to process their emotional experience of what they're hearing. It's a lot. No wonder some of our kids seem to be checked out, pessimistic, discouraged. I'm surprised more of them aren't. I mean, shit, what is happening, right? Many of our kids find themselves isolated and hopeless and really plugged right back into the thing that is bringing them that source of hopelessness, right? Anxiety and depression are up. We all know that, of course. And you know, it's not because it's a fad to talk about mental health. I don't think we can blame our kids' mental health on the fact that we talk about it now. I just don't. I feel like that's really disrespectful to our kids to say that. I feel like we have language for how we feel better now than we did perhaps when all of us parents were kids. It wasn't that we weren't anxious and depressed. There just wasn't language around it. There wasn't conversation. There wasn't a safe space to be with it and to consider it, right? Mental health isn't a fad, right? Mental health struggles isn't a fad. It is related to the fact that the world around them is shitty and they don't have the capacity yet to lift up and out of the right now shittiness and see a life that they can live by their design. They don't have the capacity, they don't have the skills yet to do that, right? So those of you with kids who are sulky and irritated and, you know, only want to talk about everything that's wrong, this is for you. This is for you. I want you to really work on compassion for where your kids are coming from because, man, and I remember saying this to my daughter, it must be really hard to live inside of this reality where everything sucks. Like, I don't want to live in that reality. I don't think you want to live in this reality, right? You guys that are listening. I don't think our teens do either. But right now, that's where they're finding themselves. Okay, how's everybody feeling? Everybody feeling super uplifted right now? Are you still with me? Sorry we had to go so dark there. I just really want to take a stand for these kids. I want to take a stand for them and help the grown-ups understand things from where these teens are coming from. Because, you know, I think we have a long history of just rolling our eyes and dismissing teenagers. And it doesn't do them any favors. And God, I mean, how does that feel? Imagine that you are being dismissed, you know, people rolling their eyes and dismissing you all the time. Some of you might not have to imagine that, right? Depending on who you are and what kind of context you find yourself living inside of and working inside of. It sucks. What might happen for our teens if we take them seriously? Tell them, I believe you. See them, listen to them, love them, accept them, hear them out. And listen, I get it. I understand. It can feel like your head's going to explode while listening to your child tell you all the things that are wrong with the world ad nauseum, while not being willing to name one thing that's okay or one possible thing that they're grateful for. I know. It's really challenging, right? Ned Johnson and William Struxred call it the Eeyore. It's the pessimistic kid who doesn't want to engage in the possibility that there's something good out there. Right? It's the Eeyore.
Hey, friends. As a podcast listener myself, I always get so excited to share when I find a new show that I think is super useful. So today I want to tell you about Understood Explains. This is a podcast that tackles one important topic per season. And this season is all about navigating individualized education plans and is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ertube. Getting the support our kids need in school can feel tricky, and we aren't always sure what it is that they need. When I listened to the episode titled, Does My Child Need an IEP? It offered up so much useful information that I could really see supporting parents who are in this consideration. The host is so knowledgeable and really breaks down the content in a way that helps listener go from completely overwhelmed to actually starting to feel empowered. Other episodes in the series highlight the difference between IEPs and 504 plans, as well as a whole episode that busts common myths about special education. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Understood Explains. So check it out. You won't be sorry.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
With Eeyore and his friends, Pooh and Piglet, nobody ever tried to change Eeyore. Nobody said, you're wrong or you shouldn't be like this. They loved him and accepted him and invited him to join in, right? He had a sense of belonging. He belonged to that little Winnie the Pooh group. And, you know, it's also important to note that sometimes this pessimistic attitude can be an indicator of something more serious going on, such as, you know, mental health struggles or drug use or both. And you may want to take your teen in for an evaluation to rule those things out, right? You get to be the judge of that. I'm not saying that, you know, every grumpy, pessimistic kid is just moving through the teen years and there's no big deal. Sometimes it is a big deal. And so you get to be the judge of where your kiddo's at and what kind of help they might need. And you get to be the one that finds the team and outsources. And if you don't have a kid that needs that extra support, they just seem to be stuck in this fixed mindset, this negative mindset, what can you do? Well, turns out there's lots of things you can do, right? There's lots of things you can do. And before I get into some of them, I want to remind you, as I do here on this podcast, that relationship is everything. Relationship matters. So if your current dynamic with your teen is one where they feel judged or criticized by you, and maybe it's due to them misperceiving you, or, you know, kind of their own insecurities getting in the way, it doesn't matter because it's real for them. They feel judged, they feel criticized. If that's the case, you're going to need to do your own work around mending that rift. And if you're like, well, I don't know if they feel like that or not. Ask them. You know, I notice you get really defensive when I bring this up. And I'm curious about that. I'm curious about how accepted you feel by me. I'm curious about what I do that feels like I'm criticizing you, right? Because we all do that. We try not to. I try not to. And yet things fly out of my mouth and I have to say, oopsie, can I try that again? Or God, that sounded really critical. I'd like to try that again. Sorry about that, right? Being real and authentic, like bust through the armor, bust through the BS, and just be like, hey, I notice you're having a hard time. And I'm wondering what, you know, what my part in that has been. And if your kid's like my kids, my daughter would say, it's not about you. You know, you don't get to take ownership of this. And if that's their response too, like, okay, great. You know, keep it light for yourself, for your own sake. Okay, great. Well, tell me about how you're feeling. Because there are shitty things in the world. It feels hard right now. And I want to listen to what that means to you. So pulling back the curtain and getting real. I notice you seem really stuck in negative thinking. Tell me about that. And, or I imagine that's a really tough place to be. Probably doesn't feel good. Name what you're seeing and support your teen in connecting the dots between their mindset and how they experience the world. Even as I say that, it just makes me think so much about Rowan, because Rowan is kind of like worst case scenario person. She's always, you know, we were all going to fly down to see my family in Southern California over the holidays. She was like, I'm really worried about the flight. And I was like, oh, you mean the airport? I know it'll be stressful, but we'll get through it. She's like, no, I'm worried about, you know, what if the plane crashes? And I was like, well, if the plane crashes, we all go down together. She's like, well, what if the plane crashes? You all die. And I'm like a quadriplegic. Who's going to take care of me? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, well, maybe grandma will take care of you. Well, look, how long's grandma going to live? You know, I mean, it was just this constant barrage of like, well, what about this? And yeah, I mean, we get to a place where I have to just say like, yeah, that would suck. That would be really hard. And that's probably not going to happen. Right? Or she's, you know, I was out in the world and this man wanted to talk to me and everybody's a predator. You know, which on one hand, like she's aware, but it's like, you know, and we talk about this, like, do you want to live in a world where you perceive every person as a predator? Like that doesn't sound like a good time to me, you know? And she, you know, gets to say, yeah, that's where I live. Right. And she's very matter of fact about it. And fortunately, it's not getting in her way. It was, you know, this mindset was a part of her anxiety a few years ago, and it really got in her way to the point where she, you know, wasn't leaving the house, took 45 minutes to get out of her car to go pick something up at Rite Aid. Like it was definitely getting in her way. And she's grown out of it and she's worked out of it and she's moving through it, right? But I listen, I take it seriously to a point. And then I share my own, like, I don't want to live in a world where I expect a home invasion, where I expect terrible things to happen. I want my experience to be like, good things are always right around the bend. Like that feels awesome, right? And she gets to live in the world that she creates. Ultimately, I love her and I accept that. So naming what you're seeing, supporting them and connecting the dots between their mindset and how they experience the world, and then letting go, right? And I have some other tips too that come from my friend Michelle Borba's book, Thrivers. Do you remember her? She came on the podcast episode 274 and talked about her book. She has a whole chapter on optimism, and she names optimism as one of the seventh essential character strengths of a thriver is optimism, right? And it's important to remember that optimism is developed. I mean, temperamentally, I think probably some people show up to this lifetime a little cheerier than others, but it's something that can be developed. But here's some ideas around how to increase the likelihood of more optimistic mindsets and more growth mindsets in your home. One of which is taking stock of your attitude and your response to the events and experiences in your world, right? Not just like the global or the national or like the headline news and how you respond to that, but like, how does it feel when checkers are rude to you at the grocery store? How do you speak into that experience? What about when people snake your parking spot at the Costco, or somebody's let you down, or something doesn't go your way? How do you talk about those experiences with your family? Do you talk about those experiences with your family? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do and you're complaining about it, right? So my challenge to you is talk about those experiences of things not going well from a growth mindset place, right? From an optimistic place, from a flexible, roll over your shoulders kind of way. Model reframing, model gratitude, and really be explicit in this sharing. Take advantage of the dinner table, of the time in the car. I mean, don't take over, but find those opportunities to be like, oh my gosh, guess what happened to me today, right? And here's what I did. And here's how I decided to think about it. I was really discouraged, but it didn't feel good to me. So I changed it around and here's how I did it. And then move on. Don't be like, did you catch that life lesson? Right? Tell me what you learned. No, just move on. Move on to something different. But share, right? Share about good things, you know, that are happening in the world. Talk about positive people doing positive things and keep it light when and if your teen rolls your eyes at you. You might need to dig. Like, there are podcasts, there are news publications where, you know, good news. I had the beginning of last year, I think, Summer, she came on and she has a podcast called Optimist Daily. And they talk about good things that are happening in the world. So make it a part of your routine to collect some of those positive stories and share them. Share them. Again, not to be like, and what did you learn from this? But really like, oh my God, I heard the coolest thing today, right? I heard the coolest thing today. I love the guy with a sign on Instagram. Do you guys follow him? I think it's called Guy with a Sign. And he just has the most hilarious cardboard signs that he holds up in New York City. And, you know, he pokes so much fun at so many things about our culture. And it makes me laugh. And it's a great talking point. So share about those things. Be a strength finder. This is a positive discipline tool, actually. We call it empowering encouragement. And it's a really useful way to connect action taken and behaviors taken by our kids to strengths and characteristics that they're using, right? And it's, you know, can't be BS. It's not about just like feeding them, trying to manipulate their thinking. It's really about, gosh, you know what? You put aside some really fun stuff so that you could study for that test that you had. And, you know, that shows a lot of perseverance, commitment, and really hard work. So I just want to acknowledge that, right?
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. And each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know, my son has had a tough time the last month with basketball, and he stuck with it and he stuck with it and he's putting it all out on the floor every time he plays. Even as I know, he's counting down the days for it to be over. And to me, that's a testament of his resilience and his willingness, right? He has resilience. He has willingness. He can make things happen. He can move through hard things. When they're in the moment, when they're in the experience, they aren't thinking like, oh man, I'm so resilient, right? Sometimes it takes an outside source to point that out. And that outside source can be us, right? Be a strength finder. Name it. Name those characteristics that you're seeing. But I think the most important thing is to let go of the idea that it's your job to change their mind, that it's your job to make them optimistic. All you're doing is setting the table, right? All you're doing is creating an environment, walking your talk, and they get to decide when and how their mindset begins to shift or change, right? We do not have control over that. So let go of thinking that you have to control it. And if you need to set up some boundaries, you know, if you need to say, you know what? I know you think the world sucks right now, and I love you, and it's hard for me to sit with that kind of mindset, so I got to take a break, right? Create your own personal boundaries. Take care of yourself. Love them. It's okay. You do you, son and daughter of mine. I love you, and I need to take some time for me. Some other things that Michelle talks about, and I actually, there's a great article that I'll put in the show notes that highlights these. So she also talks about, you know, pointing out their cynicism. If you're able to have a conversation about like, hey, I notice when you start to get into that dark spiral, it doesn't really take you anywhere good. So maybe there's like some kind of silent signal or code that we can create to highlight for you, hey, you're being pretty cynical right now. What could that look like? Maybe it's hand on the heart or pulling at the ear. And another thing to do is to encourage our kids to listen to their own comments, you know, and sometimes this is funny. Like one of my kids will throw something out and I'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's take a listen to what you just said. And we'll say it again. And we all end up laughing, right? Helping them to hear themselves is really powerful. And replacing that negative with positive word choices. You know, I always fail. I suck at school. Change that to, I'm getting there. I'm learning. I'm getting better, right? I'll never learn. I haven't learned this yet. My son, just this morning, he's taking pre-calc at the community college. I said, oh, how's it going? He's what, week 4 or 5? And he said, well, it's getting hard. And you know, my kid is a kid where school has never been super challenging for him. And I've worried about this for many years because, I mean, I worry about that. And I said that to him. I said, you know what? And he's heard me say this before, but I reminded him, like, you haven't really been super challenged at school. And it's getting challenging. And I just want to remind you that that just means that you are learning something new and your brain is being engaged in a new and different way. He's like, I know. But highlighting to them, reminding them, this is the learning process. It feels stretchy and uncomfortable. That's when we know we're learning, right? You're not there yet. You haven't learned it yet, but you're in process. I'm getting closer to understanding, right? Or getting a not so great grade. Well, what can you do next time? Well, next time I'm going to go over the answers twice before I turn in the paper. Yeah. So those are some, you know, how to change that negative mindset into some positive word choices. Again, you know your teen. It might be as much as like, hey, how can you change what you just said into a more growth space, right? Can I help you? This might not be useful for some of your kids. You know, the relationship and their mindset might be enough where this wouldn't be useful, and that might trigger them even more. So you get to use the language in your own storytelling, right? In your own practice. And you get to model that for them. And again, check your expectations. Check your own internal response to your teen's discouragement, right? I'm really noticing this lately for me. And I say, how you doing? I really want them to say, I'm good, right? And if they don't say I'm good, I'm like, what's going on? You know, how can we fix that? How can we get you back to this baseline of good? Because I am uncomfortable with anything other than my kids feeling good and fine, which is not useful. We all experience all the emotions and it's all temporary, which means my kids get to as well. And I get to be there and just be there, not to fix it, not to change it, but just to be there. So check your own internal response to your teen's discouragement and get curious about it. Like, why does this make me so crazy? Remember, I talked a bunch last week on the pod, those questions, like, what is the value that's being challenged by their discouragement? What am I grieving, right? What can I do for myself to be with this? And accept who your teen is. And who they are might be someone who's a bit more cautious, someone who struggles to see the sunny side of life. Love them and accept them anyway, right? Because it's not going to help anybody to be a little bit more discouraged and also have piled on, and I'm a big disappointment because of my discouragement to my family, right? I know that experience in the context of extrovert versus introvert. And we're getting better, I think, at valuing both of those things, but I think we live in a world that puts a lot more value on extroversion and less value on introversion. And I'm an extrovert raising a daughter who's an introvert. And there's nothing wrong with her. There's nothing wrong with her. She's amazing and smart and designing the life she wants to live that looks different than my life. And I really get to check my judgment and I really get to check my messaging around enoughness because I want her to know that she's enough exactly how she is. All right. That's what I got for you today, everyone. I hope that's useful. You know, and I'm thinking about you guys. I'm thinking about you all whose kids are really having a tough time. I've worked with a few people the last few years with like young adult kids, 19, 20, 21, who are really stuck. And I want to bring us back to everything is temporary. Everything is temporary. Life continues to offer experiences and opportunities for our kids to make sense of. And sometimes they get stuck. Who do you want to be through the stuckness? Who do you want them to remember you as being through the stuckness? Right? Work on that relationship, nurture that relationship, trust that what they're going through right now is something they're also growing through. Right? Don't give up on them. Be there, be available. Be in connection. All right. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening in today. Thank you so much to my Sproutable partners, Julietta and Alana, as well as Danielle and Chris Mann and the team at Podshaper for all the support with getting this show out there and helping it to sound so good. Check out our offers for parents with kids of all ages and sign up for our newsletter to stay better connected at besproutable.com. Tune back in on Monday for a brand new interview, and I will be back solo with you next Thursday. Have a great day.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking It.